continue to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And another great psalm. And it is so deep and so powerful that I thought I will do it in one go. It's just 8 verses. But as I said, it accesses in really good material for our souls. So I will divide it into 2 studies. And God willing, we shall look at tonight just the 4 first verses. And my title is The Words of Man. And next week, as we study the 4 next verses, the words of God. It's all here. The words of man against the words of God. And it is about our speech. It's about our lifestyle. How does the Christian live? How should he live? It's all here, my brothers and sisters. But let me read the 4 first verses of Psalm 12. Psalm 12, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly season, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? So the words of man. You see, I'm sure even in mentioning it, you could see the vanity, the haughtiness. Everything they speak is from their heart. So proud words of men against the pure words of God. As you look at Psalm 12 here, I feel David is in a dialogue with God, in a dialogue. You see, prayer is not monologue. We are in a dialogue with God. But at the same time, in his dialogue with God, he's giving us the diagnostic of this world. They are diagnosing the state of our world today. And I hope I will bring these things to you before you tonight. You know, Spurgeon preached a sermon on Psalm 12, and he entitled it, Good Thoughts in Bad Times. Sharp. Good thoughts and in bad times. So I feel Psalm 12, it is as if it was written today. Really, 3,000 years ago. But when you read it, it's all here. It is the battle for the truth. And evil is rampant, my dear friends. Do you see it? We see it every day in our world. The wicked carouses and prowls at every side. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, our lying society has become altogether corrupt. So you wouldn't be surprised with what David is telling us in this psalm. Altogether corrupt. From head to toe, the whole body is sick. But David charges, and I think here, David goes after the proud man, the proud woman in Psalm 12. I have 3 very simple headings. As I said, there is so much into it that I will just follow the text. Nothing but the text. Number one, look at it in verse 1. The prayer of a pained man. A man in pain, a woman in pain. It is brief. The prayer is brief. But it is big. Do you see it there? Very simple words. Help, Lord. I often say the shortest prayer in the Bible is help me, Lord. But sorry, I changed my mind. This is the shortest one. Help, Lord. Not help me, but help, Lord. Just 2 words. The shortest. As I said, it's brief, simple, but so sharp and bold and big. And it is interesting because the word help in Hebrew is the word save. See? Save, Lord. And when you put the two words together, you have, I'm telling you this because you know, you heard it many times, you have Yahweh Yeshua. What does it ring? I hope it rings a bell in your mind. Jesus Christ, Savior, save us. Jehovah is the Savior. Those two words, that's the meaning. And there is no salvation in any other except Jesus Christ. So this is even in this verse. And as I said, it is not save me or save us, but just Lord, save. So, which means it could be applicable to every believer in every generation. And you wouldn't find a personal pronoun in Psalm 12 just about David. So he's looking, gazing, and transferring his prayer to reach the whole world, that every believer in every generation could utter and address the same prayer. So Lord, save, help, Lord. And this is our cry tonight. You see, the situation is so bad. That's why I said, first heading is the prayer of a pained man. The situation is so bad that the only thing he can say, Lord, help. Or help, Lord. That's all he's telling us. Not even, as I said, Lord, help me. So he's forgetting about himself. Remember, always our prayers are addressed to God the Father. Always. We think about the triune God when we pray. In public, certainly, we always think about the triune God. Of course, all prayers addressed to the Father, all prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and all prayers through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the rule, and that's the process when you pray. In your personal prayers, you can go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ, but never get too familiar. As you know, in English, they say familiarity breeds contempt. So never be too familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I know it's a digression, but my dear friends, it breaks my heart when I go to in a church and I hear they say, Daddy, our daddy. No, he's not our daddy. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the Father of all mercies, the Father of all graces, the Father of all comfort, the God who created all the universe. He's not our cousin. He's not our roommate. He's not our buddy, as some will put it. He's God over all. So you see, the situation is so bad that David had to only express his prayer in short words. It comes to my mind when I think it's in Matthew chapter 14, when John the Baptist died. Oh, he died in the most brutal and cruel way. That's why I shouldn't say I hate all the parties. You know, when I look at the parties in the Bible, there is always something bad happening. Just to please a young lady. The man who is the greatest man above all men who have ever been born. We are speaking about sinners, not about the Lord Jesus Christ, because these are the words of Jesus Christ. Among men, born of a woman, there was no one greater than John the Baptist. But you remember how he died? Just to please a king, a governor, and a young lady dancing. But why am I telling you this? And later we read that his disciples went to take his body, to bury his body. And they spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ about the case. Matthew 14. So whatever is happening, we do the same. We cry to the Lord. as they spoke to the Lord. When Christ visited the mother of Peter, she was sick. What did Peter do? He spoke to the Lord about his mother-in-law. And the Lord healed her, and she served. See? So, it is good, whatever situation we are going through. Help, Lord. Save, Lord. Now, in this situation, look at verse 1 again. There are two things I would like to add to the prayer of a pained man in verse 1. Because the believer in verse 1 is given two qualities. Do you see them? Number one, the believer is a godly man. For the godly sees it. That's the verse 1. Where are the godly? They have vanished. It seems to David. Oh, godliness is leaking. There is no one upright. And this is going back. We don't have time to turn to Genesis chapter 6. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, verse 11, you read that men were wicked. Right from the beginning, they were wicked. And the imagination of their thoughts were wicked. And God even repented of having created man. And no wonder he sent the flood. The flood was God's judgment upon the wickedness of the world. But it's all here. Oh, my brothers and sisters, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find him? A godly man, who can find him? Actually, in I believe it's Proverbs 31, you read there, a virtuous woman, who can find her? So do you see what's happening in our world? The godly, where are they? Are they gone? Or David is lamenting these things. Iniquity abounds, and the love of many will wax cold. Where are the godly? It's interesting also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. You know the passage. Paul says there, for all seek their own interest. All. Not the things which are Jesus Christ's. I hope nobody here seeks his own interest more than the interest of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where are the godly? We could cry today. My dear brothers and sisters, don't you think we need, even in our church, to see more godly people? Don't you think we need to see more godly people in the parliament? Don't you think we need to see more godly women, godly men in all spectrum of life? All around the world. And this is the cry of David here. It's interesting to me, when Christ was arrested, going to the cross, what happened? Where are the godly? They all forsook him. You read, I believe, in 2 Timothy, Paul will say, all have forsaken me. Only Luke, Dr. Luke, remained with me. Demas forsook Paul for the world's sake. So, my dear friends, this is a warning for the godly season. And I think maybe Elijah felt the same. You remember what he said, Elijah? He said, I'm alone. Of course, in his case, you know the passage, God had to remind him that there are 7,000 godly men who have not kneeled down, bowed down the knees before Baal. But if you have a nation of 2 million people and you have only 7,001 with Elijah, that's nothing.
That's nothing. And I believe here David is speaking about the nation of Israel. Where are the godly? People, as you see, attend churches. Churches are packed. Maybe you are not packed. But I can tell you, I have been to churches. The church is packed. We say in Africa that it's packed like an egg. But the people have superficial worship. They worship God with their lips. Their heart is far from God. All is unsubstantial. You hear the sermons, you wonder, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I should just stay at home and read my Bible instead of listening to gimmicks. So you see, where are the godly, my dear friends? The godly is an endangered species today. They speak about endangered animals and so on, but the godly for us is the most important. And who is the godly? What can we give a definition of godly? Of course, simply it means who is like God, who loves God, and is loved by God. Simply said, don't go any further. The righteous is what? The person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. But you see, our world hates anything godly, anything sacred, anything holy. Remember when Moses died? He was a godly man. The people wept him for 30 days. They missed him. They missed him. I knew a pastor in the UK. He had a small ministry. He wanted to video all the pastors, I believe over 70s, because he didn't want them to leave us, not leaving a small legacy, at least telling us the things they have seen in this life. And I believe, I know some of those pastors. Yes, they should be videoed, and the videos kept for the following generation. Because if you count our world today, even our reform circles, my dear friends, how many pastors are we? How many? You see? So there is rarity. Many churches, you know this because you are praying for it, are pastorless. In reform circles, I'm not speaking about Armenians. Please pray for the godly to arise, young men to be called into the ministry. Not because today the ministry gives nothing to the youngs, in a sense, materially. When the world gives all things materially, how many young people in churches today want to go in the ministry? So the godly sees it. It's here. And it comes to my mind, you remember Stephen? When Stephen died in Acts chapter 8, verse 2, we read there, devout men took his body and buried him, and they cried with lamentations. They cried, their dear brother. The godly David is telling us sees it. My dear friends, are you grieved? Are you grieved to see evil abounding? Even in churches, you know, you hear scandals and scandalous things happening in churches. Oh, may God preserve us, my dear friends. May He preserve our church against things we hear happening in this world. So remember, we are the salt of the earth. What does the salt do? One of its qualities is to preserve, without mentioning 20 qualities of salt. But you see, what stops us from being godly? We have been given 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. We have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things. No Christian should say, oh, I wish I was in Paul's time. I will be more godly. I wish I'm under that celebrity preacher ministry. I will be godly. Nothing should stop us me and you to be godly because we have all the resources, all the means, all the tools to be godly. And I read about Robert McChain. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard about him, the Scottish preacher who died very young, maybe 29 years old. It is said that the radiance of God's majesty and glory was upon him, that some people, just by looking at him, this is, by the way, an apocrypha probably, maybe that did never happen, but I'm telling you things that have been reported about him as a godly pastor, that people will fall on their knees and just by looking at him and repent and find the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a godly man. A godly man. No wonder he was even taken into glory so young, 29 years old. Anything you find of him, he has a Bible reading plan. If you don't have it, we can easily find it for you. Bible reading plan. Anything of Robert McChain is very good for the believer. I spend a lot of time, I'm against myself here, but look at the second thing here in verse 1. The faithful fail among the children of men, not just the godly, but where are the faithful? They vanish. The faithful are diminished. They are diminished. Where have we failed, my brothers and sisters? The faithful is godly, and the godly is faithful. The two words can be really interchangeable. If you are godly, you have to be faithful. If you are faithful, you have to be godly. What is to be faithful? To be faithful is to be full of faith. To be loyal. To be loyal. To be reliable to your master. And when the faithful fails, it means it is a sign that things are worsening. Things are getting bad. No godly, no faithful. God is faithful, we read in 2 Timothy. God is faithful in all. And it comes to my mind, you know the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just to turn you to this wonderful passage. And it speaks about our duty in terms of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers, the stewards there, ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, we are all stewards. And the quality, the condition God is requiring from us, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, is to be faithful. Faithful. Oh, there is a deficit, a great deficit of the godly and the faithful. But look at now, I will show you. It's a balance of debit and credit, if you prefer. There is a deficit of the godly and faithful, but look at the great excess of our world. Look at it when you begin with verse 2 to 4. It's all here, and I will go quickly on those things. And you see the contrast here. And this is the reason why David is praying, "Help, Lord." And God is looking and seeking for the godly and for the faithful, but where are they? And all over, it's interesting that speaking about the sins of the mouth. Verse 2, look at verse 2. And they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. Do you see that? The sins of the lips, the sins of the mouth. It's here. That's why I read James chapter 4. I believe James has read Psalm 12. They don't speak the truth. They speak lies. You see, vanity. I will explain that in a moment. Paul says to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Why am I telling you this? My dear friends, today most preachers are telling things that will itch people's ears. They are telling people about so often what is called motivational sermons. Oh, Pastor, we want to be encouraged. We want to be lifted up. That's all. There is no warning. My dear friends, I guarantee you a church without warning will be worldly and it will soon close. The world will come in profusion. The world will come in abundance, in cascade. It's there in many churches. The world is there. They are dancing like the world. They are speaking like the world. They are interacting with one another. The services is exactly as if you are in a worldly concert. But it is sad. This should not be the case. Oh, many churches are declining because of smooth talkers. Big talkers. It's all there. Trifle talks. Rhetoric, oratory, eloquence, just to impress, pedantism. You know, just speaking to impress. A preacher should never fall into that trap. A preacher is not looking to be a celebrity. A preacher is not looking to be admired. Paul said, if I was a man pleaser in Galatians chapter 1, I will never be a servant of Christ. So that's our pattern. Oh, many are intellectual bullies on pulpits, you know, menacing. And that is a different gospel. Falsehood and calumnies are well established. My dear brothers and sisters, do you know that words are never neutral? Words are powerful weapons. I show it to you. I highlighted this passage for myself, Jeremiah 18, verse 18. I just read you the last part. When the people who were against Jeremiah said, come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Do you hear that? Let us smite him like a sword. Words are swords. Word can cut into pieces a person. And that's why, like the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, we pray. That's my prayer as a preacher. May my words be gracious, seasoned with salt. We read that in Colossians chapter 4. And when you speak, you read it in Ephesians chapter 4. When you speak, speak to edify. To edify. We will come to it in a moment. But I have five things I would like to, in closing, to show you about the words of men. How wicked, how trifle, how decadent their words are. And we have their delineation here, and we should apply it to ourselves. Please, everything I'm mentioning, we apply it to ourselves. Is this me? Is this our church? That's the purpose of preaching the word of God. If you don't apply it to yourself, it's vanity. Number one, verse 2 there. They speak vanity. And you know the word vanity means emptiness, futility, insignificance. That's the meaning. And everyone with his neighbor. Unsubstantial speeches, empty words behind the pulpit are held at high esteem. You know, we have become so accustomed with lies, we don't notice them anymore. Every advert, I tell you this, every advert you watch is a lie. Because it's competition. They are telling you this one is better. Why aren't they all better? Why aren't they all good? Because there is lies behind. There are lies behind everything. So, they speak vanity. This is the technique du jour. It's the fashion of the day. Number two, it's here, verse two again. With flattering lips, all flatterers live at the expense of those who listen to them. That's the old saying. I'm sure you heard it. All flatterers live at the expense of their listeners. And in the book of Proverbs, a flatterer spreads a snare. When somebody flatters you, pumps you, you feel, it's our world today. They pump one another, you know. You watch anything on the television, it's like they are in competition of self-admiration. Talk shows, the so-called talk shows and lie shows, sinning. And all a man should never be a flatterer. Their lips are arrows. You see, we see it with preachers also. Many preachers are using good words and speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. We read it in the Proverbs also. Just to deceive the hearts of simple people. And my dear friends, it is the same with parents flattering their children. I hope you don't do that. My children, they're the best. Look at them. No. The believer never flatter. You can do it. You are great. Look at. And you create that evil word in them, self-esteem. Run away from that, my dear friends. Am I too hard on us? I include myself tonight? No, this is the word of God. Never flatter. Remember, we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says, we are ambassadors of our Savior, and we are the light of the world. Number three, look at number three. With a double heart, verse 2, with a double heart, instead of loyal heart, it's a divided loyalty. See, that's the meaning. Double heart. A divided heart. No, the believer has no room for duplicity. My dear friends, to be honest pays. It pays. To be truthful pays. God doesn't sleep. To be honest pays. And I wish I can read for you. Let me read this thing for you, because even if we don't get there, at least you have them. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know the passages. Beginning with verse 15. Ephesians 4 verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at verse 26. Or 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Then verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then 1 Thessalonians, it's all here. If you don't mind, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit. Not many preachers could say that. No, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words As ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. This is a pastor. This is a pastor. Pastor Paul speaking. The people were dear to him. And this is what every pastor should be able to say. Not deceitful, but loving the people of God. Not for a ludicrous gain, but for love of Jesus Christ. So one, as I said, vanity. Number two, flattering lips. Number three, double heart. Number four, look at it in verse 3. They speak proud things. Proud things. The tongue, we read in James, boasts among big things, about big things. Number four or five, number five, no God, no master. Do you see that in verse 4? We all fall into this. I will speak my mind and nobody will stop me. You see it there in verse 4? They are saying, who have said with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Leave me. I will say what I want when I want. Who is Lord over us? Freedom. Folly is called freedom, actually. And they are their own lords. They call themselves free thinkers. They are not free at all. It's anti-God propaganda and rebellion. You remember what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? The same. These people, and remember, David is speaking to the nation of Israel. You can find such people in the church. I speak my mind. But your mind has to be sanctified by God. My dear friends, I don't want to overdo it, and I don't want to bury you, but we will continue and look at the judgment that will come upon those people. But next week, you shall also see what God is going to do. And instead of the words of men, look at it in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So next week, we shall look into that. And may the Lord bless his word into our souls. Let's sing together a hymn number 700.